2020 has presented its share of challenges, and some of us are taking a hard look at our future. Can you imagine owning your own business? As an Amerispec franchise owner, you can have more security and control over your future and be there for your community with an essential service year-round. You could join the most recognized brand in home inspection services, Amerispec, and provide peace of mind to home buyers. With low startup costs and excellent operational support, you can be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Learn more at join.amerispec.com/podcast.
Rashford, he's in here. He scores! Marcus Rashford takes yet another step up the ladder.
Thank you.
And it's a lad from Manchester who scored.
Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Trying to get in again.
Thank
he's
you,
in again.
He
scores
bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Manny. Ready!
It defies description. How about
Martial is isolated. Skirtle here.
Still the bars done. Slap one, slap two, that she danced on. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Good evening and welcome to the inaugural episode of the Make United Great Again podcast, aka your favourite podcast. I'm going to introduce you to our panel. You're familiar with all of us, but it's always good to say hello when you're making new friends. Disu?
Yo, yo, yo.
Elijah, how you doing, mate?
Good, bro. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Just all the work's on you, lad, because I don't really watch football anymore, yeah? So... We're relying on you to carry the pod. Seb, how you doing, mate?
What's up?
How are the shares in Rashford treating you?
Hey, going up this season, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're going up this season.
You didn't want to take my bet, though.
We had to define the parameters, man, and you was moving mad still, so...
Okay, them ones, yeah? The blueprint. All right, we'll take that offline, yeah?
Yeah.
Before we start, I'm just going to let you guys know about our live show. August the 11th, it is being held in Vauxhall, about a 2-minute walk from Vauxhall Station. Tickets are out, so if you go onto our Twitter page, it is our pinned tweet. We'd love to see you all there. I'm actually quite surprised by the amount of people that have already bought tickets. So obviously, if any of my pagans are coming, I'm ready. So don't come in trouble. But yeah, hope to see you all there. So let's start. First thing we're going to get onto is the upcoming expectations. I'm going to start with our top red because I don't think Elijah, myself, and Disu are our top red. So we're going to start with our top red.
Wow.
Set. What are your expectations for this season, sir?
Well, with our current squad, I think we should get fourth. But if we make some additions, I think we should get third. I think that's what we should be aiming for this season.
Third, fourth, yeah?
Yeah, third, fourth.
And you're happy with Ollie, aren't you? I can't quite remember, so you're going to have to remind us.
Yeah, so I was unsure, but then I said, you know what, fuck it, because he's got the job, I'm behind the manager. So yeah, let's back the manager. Give it to Ollie.
Yeah, calm. Elijah, where do you stand, sir?
In terms of what we're going to do this season, the aim should be just to get back into the top four, get back in the Champions League. Whether we're able to do that, I'm unsure.
Yeah. I don't want you to say what the aim should be. From what you can see thus far, what do you think we're going to do?
From what I can see thus far, I think we may be... It'll be a fight. 4th, 5th is where I envision us finishing. Depends on whether Chelsea adapt with Lampard or Arsenal do well with Emery. But I'm not very confident in terms of what we're going to do this season, especially... with the manager we have, but we'll just see.
Your expectations for the upcoming?
Cool. So my expectations are maybe a deep run in the Europa League, and I think we'll finish fifth or maybe fourth if Arsenal can be as horrendous as I expect them to be. I'm not expecting much from Chelsea because 80% of their club has gone to Madrid and they've got Frank Lampard in charge. But I don't really have much confidence in Ole, nor the squad, nor the ethos of what we're going to do. And I don't really see us making much additions, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. So yeah, at the moment, I'm thinking fifth place.
Yeah, I think around that same fourth or fifth place, to be honest. I think if Ole does well, because I don't imagine just getting many players in like you, if he does well, we'll get fourth. But if he performs how I expect him to perform, and none of the players that we are all hoping to make a jump actually continue to do what they've been doing, we won't get top four. So there's a lot of buts and there's a lot of ifs. And for a club of our stature, the money we've got, and the last 6 years we've had, it shouldn't be like that, but it is what it is, I guess. Yeah, we move, I guess, right, Seb?
Yep, we move, yeah. Man.
Cool, so let's talk pre-season. I think we've had a couple of games now, is it?
Three
games even, yeah. So did you guys catch the game against Inter? We'll talk back from the most recent ones. So who caught the last game?
Yeah.
I did.
Okay, so whoever wants to give their opinion first, feel free to take the floor.
Go on, Elijah.
I wasn't too impressed with the performance. It was all right in terms of there was more energy in the team, so we look fitter, but in terms of like when Inter had at the back, we'd go and press, and then if they got past that initial press, the gaps behind Lingard and Rashford and Daniel James was ridiculous, and it'll be like an open match. Inter would counter into loads of space, and I just like stuff like that. It just reminded me of like when we used to play with Jose, with Pogba and Matic in midfield, and would just be loads of space in and around them. So in terms of that, I wasn't impressed. It was. Like, to be fair, Wan Bissaka was amazing. He was incredible. Like, in terms of whenever they had to cross the ball, he'd just get a tackle in. Like, it was basically impossible to go past him. In terms of our attack and play, we would get to the final third and it would just be just nothing there, just loads of passing around. Martial played up top. And in terms of receiving the ball and holding it up, he did well, but he didn't give it back and running behind just to stretch it into the fence. I mean, they weren't rotating very well as well. So there was times where there'll just be four of them deep and there's no one up top, or there'll be no one to pass into the hole. So, but it got much better once the second half lot came on, like Greenwood, Chong, Pereira, Fred, Bailly. So, but then again, maybe that's because by that time, Inter were tired. We had fresh legs. So all in all, I wasn't too impressed. I was happy with the way Chong and Greenwood played. They were very. It seemed like they understood the roles better than Rashford and Martial, which is weird. But yeah, I mean, yeah, that's all I gotta say.
But yeah, certain man's boys there, Rashford and Martial. Seb, what did you think of the performance, my G?
I'm a bit more enthusiastic. I thought the performance was actually decent.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah, you know, I feel like in the first half, we got into some really good positions. I feel like our final pass let us down a few times. So, Daniel James, you can call them good crosses, but it's a bit weird because if our striker, Martial at the time, wasn't making like a quick move and he wasn't making quick movements into the box, it was kind of holding back a bit. So Daniel James was just flashing them across the keeper, which I think are good balls, but I think maybe he should.
It's not a good ball if nobody. It's not a good ball if nobody's there to attack it. That's what I meant.
But your striker has to go to the near post. That's rule number one.
With that, he just played hot potato, man. You didn't want to hold on to the ball at all.
No,
man.
But that's rule number one, man. You got to go across the keeper. You got to be bursting in there. You can't hold back. Like, not everyone's going to be waiting for the cutback.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I can't call it. But if a man's by the penalty spot, why are you flashing it across the keeper?
So that's why I say it's 50-50. Like, if it's a good ball, just depending on, you know, if it's a different striker, it's a good ball in it. But, you know, Martial. And then, again, as Elijah said, Aaron Wan-Bissaka was really good. Like, amazing. He was a standout performer. I think we press well, but I think it's weird. Like when you see City and you see Liverpool and when they press, I feel like they put less energy into their press. If you know what I mean, I feel like we was running a bit too much.
Because it's more organised, that's the reason.
Yeah, exactly. So their press was more organised. We was pressing so much that they did make mistakes, but it was just so, it was so much of a long press, yeah? Like, they had to make a mistake. Like, I don't think, like, we did win the ball back sometimes, like, up the field, but some, as the lad said, sometimes they'd break past and there'd be space. And then, yeah, going into the second half, I think we played really good football in the middle. I think AP lost out, but he's really, really trying, and he was quite good. And Greenwood, his movement is like amazing. You know, like, he's so instinctive. And, I'm definitely looking forward to watching him play for the rest of the season.
The star boy, yeah. Dissy, what did you think of the performance against Inter? What you saw of it?
Pretty much halfway in between Elijah and Seb, which should probably be a theme. I thought Wan-Bissaka was awesome. Obviously, Pogba was Pogba. Greenwood looked good when he came on. Greenwood and Chong were really stripping the Inter backline. Hey,
hold on. When you say Pogba was Pogba, do you care to elaborate a bit more, sir, for those who may not know what you mean by that?
Just drippy, you get me? Just give me the ball, a couple passes, send a few man shots. Obviously, he was quality. Daniel James looked crap. Rashford didn't look good. Nubia Lingard. Marshall did all right. I think he looked... he seemed a bit... He pressed more, which I was quite surprised. I don't know what's going on there. And his link-up play was pretty good. But as Elijah hinted at, we didn't see enough movements in behind. And that's a problem, because only God knows how many goal-scoring opportunities he's missing out on. And Seb said, like, runs across the near post, just getting them easy tapping goals, you're missing out on that. Obviously, in the second half, when the more younger players came on, there was a bit more injection of pace into the game. Chonga special was giving man bad days. So, yeah, it was. And Greenwood scored a fantastic goal. So, from what it's looking like from our squad, I think Greenwood should be a starter. But we'll probably discuss that more as the season goes on.
Yeah, he's for me, it was good to watch, something to enjoy with Greenwood. So, obviously, he's had that hype around his name for the last 12, 18 months or so, probably even longer for those who are really tapped into the youth teams. But when you get to see him live, watching him, he's electric, man. And he's so assured in everything you do. And so I think we were having a conversation in our chat, and you were kind of like, oh, Daniel James isn't any good. And somebody was like, oh, you haven't even seen him yet. And you were like, but you know, when you see that top-end quality, you don't have to even see it for too much. So I'm just hoping that, obviously, he'll get an opportunity to play, because we don't really have that much quality, but we give him that environment that allows him to grow properly, really. That's my hope with Greenwood. So we'll see, because obviously Ollie wants to go with this 4-2-3-1 sort of formation.
I don't know why he's doing that, man.
He's such a mug.
We don't have the players to do it. We don't have a single good number 10.
Or maybe that's what I mean. Well, actually, if going into maybe that might be what he hopes. If
say that again,
into that role, I don't know.
What do you say?
So if he does get transfers in, I think that's what he wants to play.
Yeah, but based on how we're doing business now, how likely do you think it is that these transfers are actually going to happen, mate?
I think 50-50, man. Like, I think we'll definitely get Maguire. I feel like we'll definitely get another midfielder, but that's probably gonna be the be all and end all. Like, that's gonna be it.
And with those additions, using the formation he's trying to use, where are we?
If we get, say, like Bruno, I think we get fourth. I think we can get fourth.
Okay, so now you're adding Bruno, yeah? All right,
cool. Sebi.
No, I said Maguire in a midfielder, right?
Sebi.
Okay, but
how good is Bruno?
So when you said
you know what?
Why stuttering?
I was dissing him the other day.
He's stuttering.
No. Ask Elijah. I was dissing him in the group like a month ago. But then he turned it up like one game. So I'm quite impressed. Like, he's actually decent still. He's actually decent. But I was dissing him first. But then, like, he proved me wrong. Like, he actually is decent. So
what's decent though? Because I think
I've only seen two games in it. So
Jesus Christ.
But he can ping the ball. He can create. He can score. He shoots a lot. He whips in balls. Like, is that KDB a bit like? From what I've seen in it.
Cool. Yeah, we'll see, man. I mean, this is indicative of the Manchester United we've kind of grown to know. We've been linked with this guy for the last 4 or 5 months, and it seems like every week Man United, that Twitter page Man United Extras, telling us that it's about to get sewn up. In between 35 and 50 million is what I keep reading, and then another week goes by and it doesn't happen. So yeah, I think apart from Maguire, who we're paying far over the odds for, that might be it for us. Obviously, McTominay and Pereira are both going to combine to do the role of Ander Herrera, who was a player who wasn't already good enough to start for us, but he became a linchpin for the side. You've got Matic, who doesn't know where he is half of the time, and the other half of the time, when he does know where he is, he can't actually get there. So in between those two things, it's looking very interesting in the midfield for us, to be honest with you.
Matic was so bad versus Inter. It was actually... ridiculous.
He's only going to get worse.
That
man.
Was embarrassing.
He's only going to get that worse. He's only going to get worse.
I wouldn't. If Matic was going to play for us, I wouldn't put him anywhere near like our defense. Like,
then where would you play him then?
Bam, he's playing in the reserves, man. That's where he has to go.
Facts. Like, he's eating too much pee to be in the reserves. He just needs to be sold.
He needs to go, man. That's mate.
Honestly, when I saw him,
Chinese man ain't really fucking with us though, man. The only people
we haven't, we haven't sold no players to China, bro.
Fam, like, I was only Fellaini and that, man. Like, yeah. Bruv, I don't know. Like, are the Chinese man beefing us or something, bro? Like, come on, collect our players, man.
They can't. They can't even spend P like that because they have that tax thing on their fee.
Oh yeah, okay, that makes a bit more sense. Just tell them to take Sanchez and I'll be cool, man.
Oh fam, please take Sanchez
and then I'll be all right with them. Like, I ain't heard his name buzzing at all, man. That's just
another hamstring injury. Played two games for whatever and then got a hamstring. Doesn't make no sense. You're not running fast enough. Like, how is this happening, bro?
he's done, man. Yet, man. Physically, he's done. So that's nice. 400 bags a week. Add him into the mixer. Obviously, the hope is that everybody comes together. And yeah, I want to sound positive because the season's not started yet. But I just, let's go through our team. So obviously, DDG signed his big contract. How much is he on now?
375.
Yeah, okay.
An absolute abomination.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah,
they should have given it Anderson, mate.
Giving it ends to end. I think Pogba's going to sign a new contract, by the way. But yeah,
kind of,
I think he will.
We'll get to that. So the back four at the moment is Luke Shaw, Lindelof, whoever you want to put beside him, and Aaron Wan-Bissaka. What would you guys rate that out of 10?
That's a 4, man.
Current
five for me.
A four or five. If you added Harry Maguire, what would you then rate it out of 10?
Six
for me.
Six. Did you still say 4? Like, yeah, did you go down? Did you go down a rating?
No.
We're the same.
That's the same.
And okay.
I think Maguire and Baye is a sick partnership. I think that is a sick partnership.
I'm not sure about sick. I think we should preface this by, obviously, we're going to get listeners and going to think, oh my God, what are you guys talking about? These players are good. Okay, cool. What we're rating is in comparison to where we're trying to be. When I say we, I mean the team, because we're not playing in it. But like them, where United are trying to go. So United are trying to get back to the top of the pinnacle football, where they're in the Champions League year in, year out, and competing for honours, yeah? So if you're comparing that back four to the likes of Liverpool's, Spurs's, Man City's, like all the top sides, it's not anything above a six.
I think we're catching them though, man. I think Maguire
doesn't start. Maguire doesn't start for Spurs or Maguire City.
Starts for Spurs as well.
No, he doesn't. He's not better than Vertonghen. He's not better than all the world.
I think he is, man.
I don't know.
I think he's better than Vertonghen. I think he definitely captain. Starts for City as well.
Who starts over who?
Over who?
Why is City trying to buy him then?
They're not trying to buy him.
Nah, they're trying to buy him, man.
Is that what Pep told you, yeah?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
We're trying to buy Maguire and that, brother. So, yeah. So, the defence is between a 4 to a 6 out of 10. Now, the midfield. Matic, Pogba, and Fred, McTominay, and Pereira. What would we rate that out of 10, boys?
That's a 3, and the 3 is for Pogba.
Facts.
6, yeah?
6?
Yeah, let me tell you something, yeah? Did you watch Fred in the second half?
Do you know what? He was
if
actually...
If Fred can do that all season... We're laughing. I'm not gonna lie. Second half, he done madness.
Fred will give you a cheeky 60 minutes. Yeah, Fred will give you a cheeky 60 minutes where he's winning the ball back. He's popping the ball to feet. Then boom, mistake. Yeah. They score. Nah.
Yeah, it's true. You know? It's true. But no, I ain't gonna lie. Second half Inter, Fred impressed me.
Yeah, nah.
Like, and I've already written him off as well. But I couldn't lie. Like, he really impressed me the second half. Like. He done well.
I'm pretty sure that was Inter's first preseason game.
I know, but usually the ball's going under Fred's feet. You know what I mean? Like like the bar was low for him still. So,
basically, he's showing you that he can walk and talk at the same time. Yeah?
Exactly.
I do think Fred's a better option than Matic.
Yeah, definitely.
Matic is worse.
Fred is actually better than Matic at everything apart from winning headers.
And even Matic winning headers and that, sometimes he just misses them. He moves mad, you know. Start rolling off his back and that. Matic is a bad man.
Pereira, obviously he was a player that United fans held in high regard, but after the last season, I think his kind of estimations have gone down. Where do you stand on him, boys?
I'm not gonna lie, man. I'm no stock in Pereira, man. He's a preseason player, like.
He's air, man.
Like, he doesn't take his preseason form into the regular season. I don't know what's wrong with him, bro.
he's just a nothing player. He's just there to do pirouettes and pass it sideways, man.
Looks nice, innit? But when you actually, what is the effectiveness of what you're doing?
Productivity at all is so annoying. Like, those are the worst centre midfielders. Yeah. Like, there's so many roles in centre midfield and you can't do anything productively. Get out, man. No.
Scary. Cool. And McTominay, obviously, again, saying I'm going to come to you. Whatever you want to call him. So he's probably the worst of the bunch.
No, he's not.
Matic is.
He's definitely 100% better than Matic.
Yeah,
100.
That's the sad thing.
At least with McTominay, like, he's got intensity about him. Like, he could actually win a tackle and move. Like, Matic, God help us all, man.
Even if he does pass it side, he's not going to lose the ball. Like, you can bring McTom on last 20 minutes. Bram, you can bring him on last 20 minutes and you know that he's not going to do dumbness, man.
Yes, what are you talking about? Oh, but I don't think people watch much.
Unless he plays centre-back. When he's playing centre-back, fam, that's a madness, isn't it? But in centre-mid, he's never, ever done dumbness.
He's just all right, isn't it?
He's all right.
Yeah, he's literally just meh.
He's actually not all right. Like, he's all right if you're... He's all right for Everton. But for this level,
yeah.
Because City's worst central midfielder is Phil Foden. Yeah, Phil Foden will start for Man United. Like I want people to.
So what would McTominay? Would McTominay start at Liverpool? Would he
no.
get games at Liverpool?
No.
Okay. I think McTominay's better than Keita.
You know what?
I just have to. I just have to drag Liverpool fans, man. They've been annoying me. They've been in my mentions. The Liverpool fans have been in my mentions.
Wait, Mariah, you're going to bust us with a nab cam or not?
Like me, I hate singing it at this point, but if he forces me to bring it out, I'll bring it out, because obviously that's what the people want to hear. So obviously this is me, this is a public service announcement to you, Mr. Nabuel Keita. Please, sir, please don't have me singing that song this season. But and then last but not least, the attack. So just a razz bunch of ballers. Daniel James, Tony Martial, Marcus Rashford, Romelu Lukaku, Alexis Sanchez, and Mason Greenwood. And I guess you could put Angel Gomez in
there
as well.
Don't forget Lingard and Mata.
Lingard and Mata as well. Wow, how could I forget those two? Yeah, what do you think of that crop?
Five.
That's seven.
I'll go down five.
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 And four marks up in between Marshall and Greenwood.
You're taking a piss.
I'll put a seven and six is Rashford.
The streets know about you, though. If you've been muscle head.
We can hear you laughing. How much did I pay you, fam? For this propaganda. Oh, you've got to keep his name up in the streets, bro. you like ain't paid me enough still, guys. It's getting a bit sticky. Why are you always shooting, though? Do you remember?
No, there was one match on time versus it, though. It was crazy.
Because he scores in training, innit? So, you know, he's got to do it in a match.
Scary, man. It's scary. So, yeah, between the defence, the midfield, and the attack, it's something like 12 out of 30.
Jesus.
We're a 4 out of 10 top 6 sides. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, it's scary, man. I don't really know where we're going, because it seems like, almost feels like we have to buy to sell as well.
Which I think what's mad, so yeah? The transfer window ends in, like, what, 18, 17 days?
Yeah, because it ends once.
Are we legit need five players?
Yeah.
Like, this is what Ollie was saying in the media, and this is what every single manager said. Like, basically, they said, I gave my list to Woody, and then we might not get those players, but I'll do a thing anyway. Fam, like, it's getting tiring, bruv. Like,
what's he talking about?
I'm not hearing.
Thing anyway.
He basically said, you can coach the man the minute. Like, and I'm just like, fam.
No, I'm not hearing that, because the first season, Mourinho got all four targets. The second season, Mourinho got three of his four targets. And the fourth target he didn't get was Perisic. We thank God for that. And the third season, Mourinho can make noise. But I'm not too sure about the man them he was trying to get anyway. But like, yeah, like this season, I don't know what's going on, but nobody really knows who our strong targets are. Like, it seems that not, but in terms of like serious links, like Maguire is the only serious links. Like, the Bruno Fernandes thing sounds like cap. Pepe sounds like cap. Like,
But
the thing is, we need a centre back, and we need two centre mids, not one, two. We haven't been linked strongly with one centre midfielder, not one. And that's scary to me, personally.
Yeah. We was linked with Longstaff, but then apparently the 50 million price tag put off in United. So
that's madness.
Though. But that Longstaff link could not surely have been to start. They surely didn't believe that, we're gonna fight for top four and try to retain Pogba and David De Gea. And part of that was to spend 130... So far, if we buy Maguire, yeah, now we would have spent 150 million on Daniel James, Wan-Bissaka, Maguire. Do you know how egregious that is?
That's scary, because I feel like what he's trying to do, Ollie's trying to do this thing of like, yeah, we want players with heart who want to play for the club. Yeah. I'd rather you get a mercenary like De Ligt, who's top quality, and you know he's just using your club as a stepping stone. From his perspective, it's in his best interest to play well, because if he doesn't play well,
he stays there.
He may not necessarily get that next move. I'd rather you spend that 65 million, however much they spent, plus the 300 bags a week on a De Ligt, rather than a Harry Maguire who isn't good enough. So they're saying him and Bailly are the same players, same level. That to me is mental. But I haven't got no stocks in the Bailly machine anymore, because the guy's too wild. But if these are the players we're spending money on, and we're watching other teams do much cleaner, swifter business, then the problem isn't really going away. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So you've just got a new face on it with Ole Solskjaer. I've already seen what you've done with the vast majority of these players last season. Yeah, them running around more is absolutely great. But like Elijah said, the press isn't even coordinated. So again, it's just running for the sake of running.
It's true. But I just think that United are just firm. Like, teams just like, they'll see our revenue, or they're watching the stocks on that, and they say, yep, a big man come try and negotiate with us. Firm, like, if you see, like, the De Ligt deal, yeah, to Juve, bruv, I heard Juve are paying 12 million a year, from what I read. That's fucking crazy. Over 5 years, United could never, ever structure a deal like that. They're going to tell United no. Like, it's impossible. I just don't understand, like, who's negotiating? They're saying Woodward or Matt Judge, like, why can't we negotiate, like, all these other big teams negotiate? Like, it just doesn't make no sense. Or, well,
I don't think we're respected. And I think the problem is we come in and we overpay for players, then we put them on big wages, and then when it's time to move them on, we really struggle to move them on, because teams don't, A, want to match our valuation, and B, these players don't want to take a pay cut. So Arroyo is going to chill at Manchester United for 2 more years because he's making like 120 bags a week, and it's like, wherever I'm going, they're not going to pay me that. So let me cash out, play a couple of games every month. I'm cool, you know? Go to training with my boys, laugh up with more than that, a Latino lad. So it's something that's fundamentally rotten from the top. It's like, come on, you know you're doing business with a fool. Obviously, you're going to take the piss out of them, aren't you?
I think it's less to do with the negotiating and more to do with the lack of strategy. So if you don't have strategy and you don't have a consistent philosophy, you're always going to get involved in Higgy Haga. So there's City, they have, obviously, City at the gold standard. They have the certain profile of players they want to get, yeah? And they're less likely to get shagged the back deals. Obviously, every club will take L's for transfers. You know what I mean? But if you've got good scouts, you've got a good eye for talent, you're gonna be able to build a collection of players that you like. United have got a mixed match of players with very different profiles. You know what I mean? So if you look at City, we're kind of copying the City model, but we're going British. So we're paying a premium because obviously, if you're buying British players, they're gonna be already at British teams, and British teams are more rich than every other their competitors on the continent, so you're going to have to pay more. Like, Leicester got Mad P. Leicester, you can't come and tell Leicester 30 million for Maguire. They'll laugh. They can hold Maguire for longer because they've got money, whereas maybe an equal player on the continent might cost like 30 million. For example, Lindelof ain't too dissimilar to Maguire. United spent 35 million on Lindelof, and he's younger. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So City, they bought Gabriel Jesus, they bought Sane. Sterling was a British buy. They got Stones, they got Laporte, Mendy, so they're buying in quality young players who are also hungry, got a lot to prove, that aren't quite superstar status yet. We're doing that, but we're doing that with, okay, I like Wan-Bissaka, but we got finesse out of our socks, paying 55 M's for him. Maguire, Daniel James, like, I just don't see the strategy in what we're doing. Like, it's just seems to be more freestyle, and basically whoever's the manager at the time, he gives us a list and we do what he says, but there's no consistency across the board.
So,
fam, all I want to really know is what our scouts are doing, bruv. Like,
it's not, don't blame the scouts because we've had scouts that have left and said, yeah, we've recommended these, that, this, that, and the third, but Woodward and them aren't on it. And you got to remember, the scouts could do their job, but if the managers don't want them players, what can you
say? No.
Yeah, if the manager, if Jose Mourinho or Louis van Gaal or David Moyes or Ole Gunnar Solskjaer don't want the players the scouts want, and Woodward don't want to pay scouts, what do you want to do? That's why man keep leaving. And also, apparently, United got like hella scouts, and it just doesn't make sense. So,
we've got bare scouts now because remember when Fergie left, we had like part time scouts. So what they decided to do, they got in this big consultancy agency, we brought in bare scouts to get through these different regions, France, South America, and stuff like that. But because you have so many scouts, like apparently there was a report where we sent two scouts to one match and they came back with totally different reports. So
different reports, I heard about that.
Yeah, so because there's so many different reports going about, it's like they don't know who to go for and stuff like that. So I think that's why it's so important just to have, like, with... You will talk about Man City, but the structure they have is that they have their director of football who is close with Pep, so they have both of them together who do it. I think what we should do is, like, we should copy like the method that Liverpool have, where they have like a group of people who work together with the manager. There's the head scout, there's the head of recruitment, there's the sporting director, where there's a group of them that get a list of players and they decide between them who is the best fit. So, for example, we'll have someone like Solskjaer, Woodward be there. We have a head of recruitment. Then we have someone like Butt who knows the academy, knows the first team. So he can say, why buy this player? Well, when we have this player in the academy, you can use and stuff like that. Just to like have this whole holistic feel to the whole thing. Because right now it's very disjointed. No one knows where it's going to go, to be honest. And that's the biggest problem for me. Like, people complain about the transfers and stuff like that. It's just like, it just needs to go in one direction. Everyone needs to go in one direction. And that's the whole problem for me anyway.
Makes sense. I think, yeah, it does make sense. It's so funny when you're watching from the outside in and it seems so straightforward.
Yeah.
And even what you mentioned about the different scouts having different opinions, that's absolutely fine to me.
Because yeah,
we all see the game differently. But surely, with the amount of time the scouts have been there now, there has to be a way that you can try, okay, these are the players this scout has recommended. This is what they've gone on to do. These are the players this scout has recommended. This is what they've gone on to do. So surely by now you should have an understanding of which scouts clearly have an eye for picking up young talent and those who don't. So even for me, even with that, it's still not a good enough excuse for why we're still finding ourselves doing what we're doing. Like, for me, what we need is somebody like Toby Alderweireld to come in. That's a no-brainer. An experienced, top-quality defender in this league. We sign him on a 3-4-year contract. Pay him, what's it, 150, 200k a week. He's that older centre-back among all of them lot who knows what they're doing. Brings along Lindelof. Bailly, I guess they say he's 24. So he brings along Bailly too. And then once he's done, we've got that solid partnership that is then able to kick on. But instead of going for a guy who's going to come in and pay 80 million for him, who's not even going to be our standout best defender... It's mental.
I think the issue is that they believe he is that guy, and
I don't see it.
Yeah,
don't
nobody
see it.
Nobody
I don't understand.
Nobody else,
like,
sees it.
What
is so remarkable about him? And I don't like he's a. Do you know what? I've actually always liked Maguire because I remember seeing him at Hull. Yeah. He looked like a good defender, but I do not see this star quality that people talk about. Like,
yeah,
he's like. Especially his footwork defensively, it is so poor. Like, he looks so clumsy.
He turns like a truck, man.
He looks so easy to get past. He's 1v1.
Yeah, that's my problem. I don't think attacking sides, like sides that want to, should have defenders who can't play 1v1 in the back.
It makes no sense to me. Like, he looks so susceptible just to being just taken out the game just with a bit of footwork. And I'm thinking, like, to have that and you say you want to play this front foot football pressing, you're going to expose your centre backs, it makes no sense,
especially somebody who's not fast whatsoever,
mate. Yeah. I just Yeah, that honestly makes no sense.
Let's move on from Harry Maguire and talk about the main man, Mr. Paul Pogba. Most hated, most loved, most skillful, most useless. Obviously, this summer, he's been linked with a move to Real Madrid. Streets are saying they haven't really got the peas for that. So what are you, man, saying? Do you want him to stay? Do you want him to go? If so, why? Why not? I'll start with you, Ayash. You're the CEO of Pogba FC.
Yeah, those that know me, I've had stocks on Pogba since he was here, so I'm reaping dividends. I'm eating good off it. So, regards to Pogs, I think it's kind of weird. I want him to go because I feel like United are useless anyway, and it's just going to be. I feel like a player of that caliber, you don't waste your prime years at a useless club. Like, you should be on a legacy path of some of the greats of like all time greats. We winning titles, you're competing for Champions Leagues. And also, like the whole narrative around him is just really toxic, and on occasion it gets really personal for no real reason. So I think he should leave in that regards. On the flip side of somebody who supports Manchester United, he is by quite some distance our best player, and he's a one man offensive strategy for us because we just don't seem to have one. So if we lose somebody like Pogba, with the state of our midfield currently, it's just going to get worse. And then you've got some talented young players in Martial, Rashford and Greenwood, for example, in attack. You remove Pogba, how do they even get fed? They barely get fed now when Pogba's there. So I think it creates a massive knock-on effect to the team. And then also, the whole stats of Manchester United, just no star power. Lukaku's probably going to go. Sanchez was a big flop. Mickey was a big flop. Di Maria came and went. Falcao came and went. Van Persie came and went. I just don't see United be able to attract that star power anymore. And that will pretty much confirm that, yeah, we're done out here. We're in that Liverpool, you know, stage where you're just in perpetual hickey-hagger, really. So, yeah. I think at this stage, I think he'll stay there.
Yeah. Elijah? Do you want him to stay? Do you want him to go?
I mean, he has to stay. Like, people think I'm a massive Pogba fan, which I am, because he is our best player, and but he does have his faults, which obviously there are some that are made worse by the team he's in, and there are just some things where basics that he just needs to get rid of, like overplaying, like just releasing the ball quicker, so sometimes when the team's playing badly, just needs to realise that sometimes just better to play it simple, grow back into the game, rather than trying to force stuff. And that's how we'll have such crazy performances like versus Brighton and Southampton, where he looks like a terrible player. So there's stuff like that, but he's basically our second and first phase by himself. Like he's been doing that since he's been here, basically. He's the one who gets the ball into our attack. And he's the one who creates the chances for our attack. So getting rid of him is basically getting rid of our whole attacking strategy. And we don't have a coach who's good enough to replace that. And it's just, he needs help. Like, he needs help in midfield. He needs help behind him as well. And he needs help in front. It's just a ridiculous situation, to be honest. So, like, even though I want him to stay, I know him staying is not going to fix anything. So it's just, like, sometimes I just think, does it really matter? Because if he does stay, it's just like, we're not going to progress. If he does leave, I mean, we will get worse, and that might cause a reaction, but really and truly, it will take us longer to get back there. It's just, but
purely selfish reasons. You see that little bit of sauce against Inter? That was a drug for me. That was a drug for me. Don't put me right in my veins. That was worth it. That was worth the admission fee alone. So if he does that once every game, I'm all right. You waste your prime years, son.
You have to realise he has to do that once every game just to get a shot off by himself. That stuff like that makes me
scary.
It just makes me mad. Like, I don't understand. Like, just As an offensive strategy, you're just relying on one player to do so many things, and people then blame him when he can't do it consistently by himself. Like, stuff like that doesn't make sense.
Imagine him in a proper team with real players. Well, we've seen him in a proper team. Even for France, he plays within himself. So
yeah,
he's not even there on a source thing. He's more on, just like on a calm, controlling thing. But just imagine him with two or three good top quality players to play off. Right? And the thing about Pogba as well, like they say what they want. He conducts himself with class. He doesn't rise to the comments. He doesn't want to be here, but he's like, look what Neymar's doing at PSG. They're asking Neymar, oh, what's been your favourite moment in football? Oh, yeah, what's
the I'm dead.
That's what I'm saying. Him and Neymar Senior, them man, war ready.
Them man are lawless, bro. Them man are lawless. Hey, Neymar is a lawless youth.
That's the fellas, man. It grew them, man.
Yeah.
Neymar, get it how you live, Junior, bruv. Like, he's proper.
Neymar does not give a shit, bruv.
He gets himself suspended every year when it's his sister's birthday. He gets himself injured, and he's hoping to come back for the Champions League semis, but every time they keep getting knocked out. So you compare that to a guy like Pogba, he's coming into training, working hard. He's a leader within the dressing room. He's a leader out on the pitch. And, like, I don't want to beat this horse. Not beat this horse, but we know why they're hating on him.
So that's why I want him to leave.
Yeah, for me, I want him to go to Spain, go to your Real Madrid, just go win titles and enjoy your football, man. At the end of the day, what's it worth, man?
Another thing with Pogba, yeah. When you think of Pogba, what you think of automatically, you're thinking of dribbling, you're thinking of passing, you're thinking of getting off shots, you're just thinking of flair. But because United are so, so incompetent and still have not been able to find somebody who could play in the first phase, he has to play there. He has to play there. So in the first season, we're masquerading Herrera and Fellaini there, and it was painfully evident that United couldn't play from the back. So Pogba dropped deep and was playing as a six then. Then in the second season, we had Matic, who gave us a cheeky 3 months. And then we had to keep switching in between 4-3-3s because, you know what I mean? Like, we couldn't really play out. And then, same thing with Oli. Pogba's playing as almost like an auxiliary 8/10. We looked really good. But obviously, when we started getting injuries and players started getting a bit tired and the games went on, he had to put Pogba back. And he said that, I would love to have Paul forward, but we need somebody to get the balls in between the lines. And Pogba's the only one who could do that. So for the rival fans who keep saying, oh, we buy in place to unlock Pogba, unlocking Pogba's a dumb thing. A good player doesn't need to be unlocked. It's just about stripping him of having to do so many tasks. Like, as a midfielder, you should have one role. Are you the box-to-box? Are you the ball winner? Are you the chance creator? Are you the offensive playmaker? Defensive playmaker? Man's doing like eight shifts at once. You know what I mean? Like, just have a competent midfield. Like,
and that's what fans mean when they say unlock Pogba, because everybody wants to see what he does going forward because it's entertaining and we watch football to be entertained. So it's like, let's actually get players who can build the play from the back.
We just watch Spurs. We watch Spurs get in the melee.
That's nasty behaviour, man. Yeah.
We watch Leicester get Tielemans, and the word is on both players, the briefs were, those were players looking at if Pogba left. This is the problem. You've literally watched 3 years, of a man who cannot run a whole midfield by himself because nobody can. And you still haven't got it to your head that you need to add more quality in the midfield area. Why are you replacing quality? You should be adding quality. You don't. It's not one in, one out. It doesn't make sense.
I honestly feel like United are, they're so fucking disabled. Like, they've gone like to the opposite end of the spectrum. Like, I feel like they're trying to be wheelers and dealers now because of how football view them, and they're trying to be strong. And like, if we lose this player, then we go for these two players, or, you know what I mean? We don't want to, get other foreign players and they don't perform and stuff like that. We don't want to just buy players for the sake of it. But I feel like anybody with a football brain can see that, yes, Ndombele, Tielemans, these are the players that you should be getting. I just don't understand, like, who's making the decisions. I don't know who's making the decisions. Like, it's crazy. Like, it can't be a football man. Like, it can't be
It isn't a football man. We know that. So obviously, I think Pogba's going to end up staying just because Real Madrid won't be able to shift players. But I do think that he'll be gone by next summer. I don't think he'll sign a new contract. I think he'll go next summer. That will be Real Madrid's big summer signing. And yeah, I wish him all the best, honestly. And I'll watch Real Madrid every week because of him.
We'll talk, man. Hello, Madrid.
I want to ask you lot about the big man, Seb's favourite player. So, Seb, your man's talking a lot. He's talking bears. Right? He's talking like he's a baller. Word on the street is that he's heading to Milan. How do you feel? Happy? Sad? What should we be doing? Who's going to replace him? Give me all of that.
I'm loving it because you know my young G got to step up and fill Wayne Rooney's boots finally. Yeah, I mean, like, because we've had a few strikers that's coming over.
Honestly,
the year.
That number 10 shirt has been soiled.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Give it this season. Like, it's trust me. Yeah, trust me. You know, Rash is going to step up this season. But yeah, man, I'm happy Rom's gone. I'm really happy he's gone. I think we're not going to buy a backup striker. I think we'll use Greenwood, Rashford and Martial, depending on injuries and all of that stuff. I think we'll buy a winger instead. That's how I feel.
Who do you think we're going to get then?
I am not too sure. I feel like,
isn't the winger we're getting Daniel James? Isn't that meant to be it?
No, I think he's a stopgap or like a rotation player. So he'll be like a backup player for somebody else. No, so I thought what they wanted to do is get Daniel James and then buy Sancho next season. That's how I feel like he's that guy. Like, so he's going to be like the backup to Sancho next season or something like that. But if
that's what's happening next season.
I think if Rom goes, I think we've got to look at like Pepe, which we've been linked with. So I think that might alter the plan. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
see,
so,
my thing is, Pepe is going to cost, 60 million?
Yeah.
I reckon if they get Pepe, there's a chance they may not go in for Sancho next season.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, if Rom goes, I think that kind of shakes the plan. And I think they won't go for Pepe next season. I mean, they won't go for Sancho next season if Rom goes.
Rom might have to stay. I'd rather have
Sancho Rom next
Sancho
season
than Pepe and no Rom. Disu, what do you think of Lukaku's leaving and what it may mean for the rest of the team?
Lukaku is probably our most reliable source of goals. I trust him more in front of goal than this current iteration of Rashford. But I think the potential for United's all-round play with Rashford to be more fluid, provided he plays with sense and doesn't try to switch the ball and shoot from 500 yards. But I think with Lukaku, we got to make sure we get adequate money for him. And the Pepe thing, it's just irritating. It's another one in, one out. We should be buying Pepe, period. If we think he's good and we're willing to spend 80 million euros, it shouldn't matter if Lukaku is going to be there or not, because Pepe and Lukaku don't play the same position anyway. We definitely need a right-sided forward, and Daniel James is absolute pants. So what are we doing? And even if he gets Pepe, we should still sign Sancho, because Sancho could be a potential generation talent. So, like, I don't understand this club. Like, you want to have as much quality players as possible. No matter how much you think about philosophy and coaching, end of the day, sport is always about, at the top end, always about quality. Who's got the most quality players? All the best teams have the most quality players. As simple as that.
Word. We're a team that's so starving for quality that we shouldn't be turning our back on it. And a couple of the youths that we have, they're gambles, let's be honest. Only one of Martial and Rashford are bussing. Only one of them two are bussing. Maybe both of them may not. But I know there's no world where they both bust, so we need to get more quality in if we can. Elijah, I remember you being a big Lukaku fan. How do you feel about him?
What the fuck? Mate, I still can't believe you signed him. I still can't believe. I think that was that summer.
I got into a big argument in work about it with one of my line managers. I've got proper heated. Listen, you got to sign Lukaku. Who else you got? He's not good.
I could have been.
He's not good. I was so, you know, like,
Whoa. I actually thought Rom was the truth. No, I'm not even going to lie.
I said it from the start, man.
I like Kisa. I won't give you a disciplinary for that. But next time, you watch yourself, yeah? Yeah, go on. Talk to me about Lukaku.
So, with Lukaku, I'm...
Yeah, like...
I'm glad he's leaving, because he just doesn't fit. And, I'm just glad he's going to go. It opens up an avenue for Rashford and Greenwood. Hopefully, if we do get Pepe, that'll be a good sign. I've not seen much of him, but just from what the little I've seen and what I've heard, he seems very goal orientated in terms of he looks towards goal. He wants to get goals and stuff like that. And with the whole Pepe Sancho thing, with that, I'm thinking even if I think Sancho is definitely still going to be on our radar, even if we do get Pepe. Because with Sancho, it's not like he can just play out wide. I think even in that 10 role, I think Sancho could be really good. So you could have a potential of Pepe, Sancho, Rashford, and Martial in that front four.
That,
which
saucy.
Which could, which to me, it sounds like a very good front four. It seems very like it has the right profiles in there somewhere, but it just, in terms of we really need a right winger, because we handicap our left side by not having a right wing, because everyone knows we can only attack down our left. Well, like even with Wan-Bissaka right now, like he's done well in terms of going forward, in terms of taking the ball forward, but we're still kind of shunted to the left, whereas if we have a right winger where we're able to stretch the pitch, it'll give more opportunity for Rashford to go 1-on-1, Martial to go 1-on-1, or for like either of them just to occupy less defenders. And it's like, it's for me, it's so important to get someone for that right wing just to stretch the pitch. So it, for me, we need to get a right winger. But the priority is obviously centre midfield. But with Lukaku going, with him is that he always used to drift up to the right wing anyway, and sometimes he used to play right wing. So I think someone like Pepe, who can play up front and right wing, I can see why they would want someone like him, because he's kind of in a similar profile. So, yeah, I personally think from what I've seen, he would be a good signing. It's just how he adapts to the Premier League and stuff.
I said, between you guys, I want you to tell me what players you think we're going to get before the window closes and agree on where we're going to finish. And then we'll come back and listen to this pod at the end of the season. And if Pamins have to be delivered, Pamins have to be delivered.
I think we'll get Maguire, and that's about it. I'm not sure, but I don't trust any of the Pepe link and the Bruno Fernandes link. To me, it just sounds like agents trying to generate a market. Like,
yeah.
In Portugal, it's been imminent for 6 weeks. Like, what's going on? Like,
I'm dead.
Nah, cool. Portugal reports are always crazy, man. They were saying we were going to sign Lindelof for like 7 months before it even happened, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
so
they just go so crazy.
Are you guys agreeing that we're only getting Harry Maguire? Yeah,
I think we're actually going to get Bruno, to be honest. I don't know.
Elijah, he loves it. That's nice, sticking your neck out on the line.
Do you
want us to put your neck on the line for anything? You love
yeah,
it?
I feel like we're going to get Bruno too.
Yeah.
Oh, what did you say? We're going to get Neymar?
No, Bruno.
Cool.
do you know, flipping, what's it called? Neymar's dad is trying to offer Neymar to United and Madrid.
Yeah,
bidding war
season.
We can't.
How
do
much
that.
Would it cost?
Oh my god!
Like he'll cost 200 million.
We'd have to swap Pogba.
I'll do it. I'd do it.
Oh wow! Hagen, boy, snake bite. Want to like?
No! Not swap Pogba, but pay 200 for Neymar.
PSG would want Pogba.
Hey, Neymar wouldn't be able to spend a month here, man.
No, he'll take it here.
I've got an ACL injury. Your knee's fine. No. I got a knee. I swear.
In February, he will bust out to May.
Nah, he'll be gone, man.
Listen, give me a cheeky 3 months, bruv. It's better than watching Daniel James and Rashford, bruv.
You have an agenda against you already, man.
I can't do it.
James is going to cook.
I can't do it. He's so bad.
James is going to cook.
He's so bad.
He's not.
I'm not going to let that youth grow at all. Are we backing any of the young boys to make a breakthrough? So Ghana, Chong, Greenwood. Gomez, Twanzay Bate, and Greenwood. How many of them are we backing to make a breakthrough?
I think
Greenwood and Twanzay Bate.
What do you think, Elijah?
Do you know what? I really hope, just for the sake of our midfield, that Ghana breaks through. That's just hoping against hope. But
do you think he will?
I don't think he will, but we really need a sentiment. We really need like a midfielder, man. Like it's actually scary. It's scary, man. So, but cool, I think that Greenwood and Twanzebe will, they will get their chances. Chong, with him, it's a bit iffy because he looks like he needs to grow a bit physically. So they might loan him. Same with Gomez as well. But I really hope that they stay because they're better than our other options in Lingard and Mata. So.
Cool. And I'll ask all three of you, I want a yes or no. Will United make top four?
Yes.
Yes.
Disu? No? Elijah?
I'm going to say yes.
You're going to say yes. I like it. You stick your neck out on the line. Like, what happened? What happens if you're wrong? You get panned by me for months. It's cool. Like, get over that. That's not a big deal.
I grew up with that, man.
Cool. So, unless there's anything else you want to say, any other players you want to throw shade at, Disu, I think that's it for our first Make United Great Again podcast. Please listen, retweet, share.
Don't forget the live show.
Make sure if you've got any issues with Seb, DM him. He's on that stick talk thing. But before one more time, I'm going to remind you guys to get your tickets for our live show being held at the Vauxhall Street Food Garden, literally 5-minute walk from Vauxhall Station. It is Sunday the 11th of August, so we're going to be having Arsenal versus Newcastle, so a nice mid-table clash to warm you up. And then the big game, Manchester United versus Chelsea. We'll be there from 1 o'clock. We hope to see you all there. Peace.
You can get the tickets on Shubs, by the way.
It's on shrooms.com. Where else would it be? Cool. Bye. Bye, guys.
Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Bang. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Bang. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Let me talk to the big dog. No local man who's in charge. The man don't ball like they're injured. I kick ball like I'm Lingard. I got 99 problems, none of them are goals. You got 99 girls, but they all call you bro. She had my bars and you're like it. Cause like man, I'm United.
Yeah, I'm far from my peak, getting stronger. Getting paid every week like I'm Pogba. Yeah, I'm in the scene for the long run. Used to be a baller till bars come. Football tricks, get your ass spun. Hot property, that's the last one. I beef her backstage till the bar's done. Slap one, slap two, that's your dance done. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Bang. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Support for this episode has been provided by Ratio Keto-Friendly Dairy Snacks. If counting macros makes your head spin, count instead on a snack by Ratio. They've done the math for you, so you can spend less time studying the label and more time enjoying your day. Creamy and delicious, try strawberry and vanilla for 2 grams of carbs and a unique combination of sugar and protein. Interested? Ratio Keto-Friendly Dairy Snacks are now available in the yogurt aisle at Walmart. Always consult your physician before starting an eating plan that involves regular consumption of high-fat foods.